helping students and healthcare professionals not just survive, but thrive with a purpose. This is the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Well, welcome to another episode of CMDA Student Pulse Podcast. I'm Bill Reichert, National Director for our Campus and Community Ministries here at CMDA. And my guest with me today is Dr. Nicholas Comanellis. Nicholas, welcome.
Thank you, Bill. Great to be with you and your student audience.
Yeah, well, glad to have you part of this conversation. We're going to be talking a little bit about Five Bags of Gold, a book that you've written, and we're going to have a chance to unpack that and some other things. But before we dive into that, let's tell our listeners, those watching, a little bit about you. You are the president and professor at InMed, which I hope and trust we'll have a chance to talk a little bit more at the end of our conversation as well. InMed is an institution founded in 2003 to promote global health education. Nicholas has served in Shanghai Charity Hospital and Angola, taught at the University of Missouri, Kansas City, and cared for patients in Kansas City's public hospital. Now, along with degrees in medicine and public health, he also holds a diploma in tropical medicine and is board certified. Nicholas has authored books, plays classical guitar, and was honored as the United Nations World Citizen in 2009 and University of Missouri Kansas City Alumni of the Year in 2015. Well, God has done so much into your life, and I know your life experiences, Nicholas, the things that you've been doing have informed the things that we're going to talk about a little bit today as well. Let's just dive right into this book that you've written. What inspired you to write Five Bags of Gold?
People who are part of our network tend to be very high energy, often altruistic, you know, trying to intentionally follow Christ. And we often just need some direction, like, how do I make decisions? What do I focus on? What is God's call on my life? And so the book is constructed as a toolkit for helping us be faithful with what God has given us.
Okay, let's talk about this idea of treasure, because that seems to be an emphasis in terms of the theme of this book. Why is it important to maybe start off with this question? What's my treasure? What's this? Kind of unpack this idea of how important understanding what our treasure is.
So we live in a world that treasures many different things, and I like to call them the five P's. You know, one is possessions. You know, we rate ourselves by what are we driving, where are we living, you know, where are we spending our resources, how much do we make, and we can say, well, I'm a follower of Christ, you know, that really doesn't matter to me. But in actuality, we are heavily influenced by that kind of a value system around us. So one is a possession evaluator. The second P that people treasure is their position. Hmm. You know, what is their title? Now, we often think of it in terms of a career position. You know, I am chairman, I am president, I am overlord, I am supervisor. And this gives us a certain amount of satisfaction. You know, I want to be this position. Mm-hmm. Other people value pleasures. You know, I want to be able to mountain climb, sail, fly. My sense of purpose, success is tied up in my ability to do these kind of things that make me feel good about myself. And then the fourth P is projects. You know, I want to write a book. I want to start a company. I want to launch a ministry. I want, you know, in my identity, my focus in life is tied up in making this thing move forward and seeing it successful. Mm. And the fifth P is people. The value of people. You know, my emphasis is on the relationships. Now, helping people to progress in their spiritual life, in their basic human needs. Well, in reality, most of us function with some combination of all five of these, you know, possession, position, pleasure, projects, people. And with wisdom, we can use a people emphasis and take these other elements and direct them towards the welfare of people. But people are the prime priority that we read in the gospel of Christ.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going to last for eternity, right? One of the things, at least, are people. I mean, they go into eternity. It's definitely an eternal investment. You know what? I like the way you frame it. It seems to me a reframing of what, you know, I often hear about, I've read about authors like Tim Keller and others who talk about the idolatries of our lives, the things that we cast our affections, put our functional trust in. And but, you know, idolatry and talking about it in that way is a little bit seems out of place for us culturally. So I love the way you're reframing it somewhat. At least this is how I'm perceiving it. You can correct me if I'm off base. But this idea of what are we putting our functional trust in? What are we putting our affections on? And so I love this idea of treasure. I think that's a good way of reframing it.
Yeah, and in this context, I often talk about the treasure chest. And that is ourselves. You know, we have within ourselves capacity to be very kind, to be very giving, to also commit great evil too. And so as part of our evaluation of our treasure, we have to look at how are we caring for ourselves? You know, our own physical rest, our own spiritual growth, our own accountability relationships, that while we are other focused as we should be, we also need to watch over the treasure chest within us, you know, ensure that our own spiritual life is continuing to be robust moving forward. And this is one of the values I observe about CPA is as you and the other leaders, Bill, are helping us to maintain our walk with Christ and attention to our own personal needs so that we can, in turn, serve humanity and honor Christ.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
Christian student pursuing a career in medicine or dentistry or other discipline in healthcare and encountering challenges or even hostility in conversations with peers or your faculty because of your Christian worldview? If so, CMDA has produced a 7-module on-demand video series just for you called Standing Strong in Training. It's hosted by Dr. Jeff Barrows, who's an obstetrician and gynecologist, as well as a bioethicist. It is designed for a group setting in which you'll be introduced to a fascinating metaphor, the elephant and the rider, which is described by author Jonathan Haidt in his best-selling book, The Righteous Mind. Dr. Barrows will help you understand why you believe what you believe and how most modern people, including professionals, make moral judgments based upon intuition and emotions instead of logic and reason. This training series will help you solidify your foundational worldview beliefs on important issues like beginning of life, end of life, and biblical sexuality. Standing Strong in Training will help you winsomely defend biblical values and positively interact with others in developing their own worldview beliefs. You can access this free series by going to cmda.org/standingstrong.
Yeah, let's talk about this idea of honoring Christ. I think, you know, there are these things that we treasure. We put our affections on the things that we lean into, but how important is it, though, to look beyond the moment and look in terms of eternity as to how we will kind of be held to account to how we use our treasure? I mean, how important is that to consider?
Yeah, exactly right. And there is a future event that is coming. And so, you know, at this moment, You know, we can talk about, well, Christmas is coming, Thanksgiving is coming, New Year's is coming, Super Bowl is coming. You know, but there is an event that will outshadow all of these that is described in the latter part of Matthew chapter 25, where Christ is describing the end of time and all the nations are gathered before him. And Christ says to those on his right, you know, come, blessed of my Father, take the inheritance. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, in prison, you know, and you had compassion on me. You met my need. And then as we read on, you know, he talks to those who are on his left and he says, well, I was needy in these ways and you didn't do anything to help me. You know, this is the big event towards which we need to be looking as we go about our daily lives to say, when it comes time for my accounting to Father, that I will be able to say that, yes, I did indeed respond with compassion and action mm-hmm. you know, on behalf of the needy around me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very important that we remind ourselves that we are being asked to, by the Father to be faithful stewards of what he's entrusted to us. So, you know, we get this big picture. We know we need to be faithful. We know we need to be, there's an accounting to those treasures, but tactically, in the moments, how do we decide right now what we do with the treasure? And I think you unpack this some in your book too, this idea of discovering God's will, because that's what I think a lot of us are often tested in is, okay, there's you know, very evident commands of God's will in the Word. We read those, but then there's these things in our own life that aren't maybe clearly articulated in the Word, but are nevertheless, we want to be obedient to him. And so how do we discover God's word in those moments? Or God's will, that is, in those moments.
Yeah, sure. Well, I want to start by describing my take on the will of God. And I draw a lot of lessons from the first couple in the Garden of Eden. And so here's the man and the woman, and they wake up in the morning and it's breakfast time. And gosh, what are we going to have for breakfast? You know, well, there's a banana tree over here, there's a pomegranate tree over here, there's apple tree over here. And I think I feel like apple, you know, so have that for breakfast. But there is this one tree over here that God says not to eat from. Okay, so that is off limits. Right. Then there's all this other fruit to choose from. And by implication, I approach the will of God in the same way. We enjoy a lot of freedom to decide what we're going to do with our lives. Mm. Now, there are guidelines that are established for our protection. Right. You know, do not kill, honor your father and mother, do not commit adultery. But then all of these other choices of what am I going to eat today? What career am I going to study? What church am I going to join? Who am I going to date? There, I view a lot of freedom in there for us to choose. And of course, we're responsible for the choices that we make. And scripture is filled with guidelines about how to go about making those individual choices. You know, for example, Christ says, count the cost. You know, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, you know, won't he first sit down and estimate how much is it going to cost? You know, where are the resources, you know, before building it?
Right.
You know, and of course there's an appeal for wisdom from others. And so we talk to our counselors, we talk to our parents, we talk to our pastor, you know, we find out from people ideally who've been there before, you know, whatever direction we're going to go, we ask them, you know, what was this like? What would you wish you had done differently? You know, another principle. And then in the context of personal decision-making, we also have the factor of patience. You know, big decisions are usually not urgent, and really urgent decisions are usually not that big. You know, as we are patient, wisdom often prevails.
Mm. Oh, those are good principles. Yeah, I think that's probably one of the biggest questions our trainees are often asking is, how do I determine the will of God? And I think what I hear you saying is, in that freedom, it really, we're given some of that freedom, especially if we are surrendering. If our heart is like in Romans 12, you know, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your act of spiritual worship, you are in a posture of surrender. And being willing to be obedient to the things that are very clearly stated in the Word, then I think there's a lot of trust and confidence that He is going to guide and lead you in those maybe less obvious decisions or those maybe considered smaller decisions as they may be. So I think that's really important.
And so we begin with prayer.
As an
appeal for spiritual insight in deciding. And of course, one of the side benefits of prayer is often a sense of peace and clarity that comes, you know, as we give this decision to the Lord and ask for wisdom.
Oh, amen. Well, what practical steps, Nicholas, do you have in terms of hoping readers will take away after finishing the book? I mean, what student reads this book, what would be some of your hopes and expectations that they would, what kind of lessons or things that they would pull away that would be beneficial in that would be your hope?
Well, let me answer that in two ways.
Okay.
Continuing in Matthew chapter 25, mm-hmm. Is the parable of the bags of gold. Mm. And so for those of you listeners who are readily familiar with this, you know, a king went on a journey, and before he departed, he gave some of his treasures to his faithful servants. And one received one bag, and one received five bags, one received two bags. Mm-hmm. You know, and after a long time, the master returned, and he called these three servants for an account. You know, and the guy who had five bags invested it and earned five bags more, and two bags more. And in response, the king said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, enter into the happiness of your master, and I will give you additional responsibility, you know, since you have been faithful." And then comes the person who had received one bag of gold, who said, "Well, I was afraid of you. I was afraid of failure. So I just hid it in the ground and it is back to you." And the master was very upset with that. Why didn't you at least invest it so it earned interest? You know, and then he says, "Away with you, you know, away from my presence." Essentially, my read is that this hoarding what we have received is equated with disbelief. Mm. And so we want to be prepared so that we can give an account that what God gave us in terms of talent, time, treasure, was wisely invested on behalf of humanity, especially as I mentioned a little earlier in Matthew 25, people who are hungry, people who are naked, people who are in prison, people who are sick, that we respond with compassion and action on their behalf. So there's this additional accountability. And then more back to your question, what do we do right now? Hmm. Well, we apply the wisdom principles in our decisions, like you and I just mentioned. And then I also appeal to people to assess their own spiritual gifts. You know, the New Testament in three or four places, depending on how you measure them, talks about how each believer is endowed with certain abilities. Mm-hmm. And so we have pastors and teachers and people who are empowered for acts of mercy and for leadership and for generosity. And so I encourage people to find out, what are your spiritual gifts? Mm. And there are online tests you can take where it asks you 50 questions and tells you what your gift is, which is great. But then probably the best way is actually to be engaged in the spiritual walk with your community. And as you try out different ways of serving, you discover what is especially strong for you. Mm-hmm. And that understanding of your spiritual gifting may help you to know where to focus your investment of what God has given you on behalf of Him.
Stay tuned for more of this story. The Student Pulse podcast returns in just a moment.
Are you ready for the 2026 CMDA National Convention in Loveland, Colorado? Join us April 21st through the 23rd and worship with our returning guests, Shine. Spend quality time fellowshipping with like-minded Christian healthcare professionals from all over the world. Hear invaluable discussions from plenary speakers and breakouts on a huge number of topics facing healthcare today. Take time in the beautiful surroundings of the Rocky Mountains for personal and spiritual refreshment, and find encouragement for the renewing of your faith. If you haven't registered, now is your last chance to get the best price of the year. Register today at natcon.cmda.org.
Let me speak to the student that might find themselves, you know, they want to now be faithful. They want to use well what God has given them to steward, but maybe they failed in some ways, and they think, well, golly, is my failure fatal? Speak to that student who's maybe in that position, who's like, okay, I want to turn the corner here. I want to live a new day. I want to be able to walk in faithfulness and obedience, and yet they felt like, oh, have I wasted this time? Have I squandered? Speak to somebody who may be operating from that sense of disappointment, grief, sorrow, failure.
We have all fallen. We have all come up short. If you are feeling that about your life, first of all, it's realistic because we all fall short. And second of all, it is also affirming in a way, because you recognize your failure. You recognize your need to walk better with Christ. That is a perfect first step, because many people aren't even there yet. They don't even realize that they need to do a course correction. And so, yes, we all fail. Yes, it's good that you want to know how to proceed from there. And then where do you go? I like to talk about four components of the Christian life, which I'll just quickly mention.
That's fine. Yeah.
You know, one is the content of what we believe, the content of, you know, and this is one of the reasons why every follower of Christ needs to daily be in the Word, even if it's only for 10 minutes. You know, choose a passage of Scripture. It doesn't have to be long, but read it and read it again and dwell upon it and say, how does this apply to me today? And do it every single day. Sometimes people will say, haven't you read the New Testament before? Why are you still reading it? You know, because I need to be saturated with it every single day.
All right.
So content of our faith. Community of our faith is a second. All right. Who are you fellowshipping with? You know, who is the body of believers? Do you need to engage with them? As a medical student or as a young healthcare professional, sometimes we think that our role, our work is so unique, nobody in my church would possibly understand. So I'm not part of a church. Well, should be part of a church. Those are normal people. You know, we need contact with others who are different from ourselves. And so the community is really essential. Another part is the character of our faith. And that comes back to these acts of compassion. You know, what are we doing to reach out to people in need around us? Now, a student may say, I just don't have time. You know, I am totally booked. I'm studying for step one. There's no capacity in here. You know, but if you could just find 2 hours a week, you know, to volunteer at Habitat or to, you know, work at one of these food shelters, which are really high demand right now, do something. And then finally, the communication of our faith. So with whom in your world are you a conduit for the good news about Christ? You know, chances are there is someone who never goes to church, who's far from the kingdom, and you are uniquely positioned in order to respond to that particular person. But it's often in the context of relationship. So you need to create and maintain relationship with them. Content of our faith, community of our faith, the character of our faith, and the communication of our faith.
Good. Very, very helpful. Thank you. I'm glad you did take the time to unpack that for us. Well, we're going to put this book in the show notes so people will know how to access it. But before we move on, and finish our conversation, I wanted you to talk a little bit about InMed, because I know that that has been a work and ministry near and dear to your life and your heart. Tell us more about InMed and how, I guess, attendings can get connected, of course, but then even students, trainees, residents, and such. Tell how maybe individuals can connect, and what are some of the resources and opportunities that InMed has to offer?
When I was in high school, I read the book Deliver Us from Evil. Hmm. It was written by Tom Dooley, who was a 28-year-old U.S. Navy physician who was providing refugee care at the outset of the Vietnam War. Hmm. And I thought, that is so cool. That is what I want to do with my life. And so as a medical student, I went to my dean and I said, you know, I want to work with this American doctor in Central America and get credit for it. And my dean said, that's great, wonderful. And I said, well, how do I set this up? You know, who do I talk to? How do I approve it? How do I pay for it? My dean said, I had no idea. I'll figure it out. Well, I did. And it was a great experience. I went on to work for 2 years at the charity hospital in Shanghai, China in the 80s. That was long before there was prosperity in China. Most of the people we cared for had diseases of poverty, tuberculosis, rheumatic fever. Later in the 90s, I worked in Angola in Southern Africa at the height of their civil war. And for 2 years, most of the people I cared for had gunshot wounds and landmine injuries and malaria. And the war in Angola escalated, and I came back to the U of Missouri, where I had graduated from. And I was approached by all these young people who said, that's what I want to do too. How can I get started? And so, Bill, I thought back to my experience going to the dean who said, I have no idea, you'll figure it out. And I thought, we're going to create a pathway so that people who want to care for the poorest of the poor through healthcare know where to go. And that was the launch of the Institute for International Medicine in 2003. And today we provide course curriculum to prepare medical people and those in other health professions to be able to manage those diseases, to be able to use cross-cultural skills, to be able to lead health initiatives. And then we also provide service experiences, you know, those rotations like I had done and many of our audience want to do, so that they have a chance to actually get some experience doing this. And then we recognize people with credentials. We offer a graduate diploma. We offer a master's degree. These are important for two reasons. One is it authenticates the experience. But more importantly, it communicates skill that can be applicable to our entire career. You know, you may not go off to India, but you might care for the poor in Indiana, and these kind of skills are going to be applicable as well. And so I'm very excited to work with young healthcare professionals and students, you know, who are interested in serving those who are elderly, chronically ill, disabled, non-English speakers, victims of war and disaster, you know, to be the hands and feet of Christ on their behalf.
It's a wonderful work of ministry. And I know we're going to see each other here soon at the Global Mission Health Conference. And I know that's an incredible opportunity to encourage and invite individuals to engage with whatever that next step is in terms of global or domestic missions. We're going to put that InMed in our show notes so people know how to find you and reach out to you as well. Nicholas, I just want to again thank you. We've known each other for several years, and I just am continually humbled by your passion, your love of those you serve, your expertise, and the ways that you're multiplying. That's the key. You're multiplying these experiences, this training to countless others to help launch and mobilize men and women for the kingdom using healthcare. So thank you again for all that you're doing for this book. Again, all this information will be in the show notes. See you in about a week. And thank you, Nicholas, so much for being a part of this time together.
Yeah, I'm grateful to you.
All right. Dr. Nicholas Comanellis, thank you for being part of the CMDA Student Pulse Podcast.
Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. CMDA Student Pulse Podcast is a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the organization. CMDA is nonpartisan and does not endorse candidates or political parties for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members.